Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, beautiful downtown Chicago, 18 stories up. Yeah. Hey, it's Friday, everybody, so that means Fly Jams Friday. Be coming up a little bit later on. That's our weekly salute to R&B and soul and funk. And we take your requests. DJ Shagru actually takes your requests. I don't. He does. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on. Viggity, viggity, Vic. We also have got DJ Badass Baddish and Wiki, Wiki, Nikki. So that's all coming up Fly Jams Friday. We also have our regular features. You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy is a fun little segment that we do every week. And it's where we take actual news stories of actual dumb people doing really dumb stuff, usually getting in, arrested for being stupid. And then we read those stories on the air, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. And you can be a part of it if you want to. You can find the link to a funny dummy story and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com and say, hey, Dan, I'd like to read this on the air. We'll figure it out. You'll get to read it on the air, and you will also get some Lou Malnati's pizza. So it's a win-win-win-win situation. Also, you can be a part of Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7, and whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle like a two-year-old, jot all that information down, who said it, day, time, all that stuff, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Also, we have Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, you become a spy. We want to know about it. Jot all the information down again. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All that's coming up. All right. Dan, are you what are some of your favorite past and present summertime activities?
Wow, that is a good question. When we were younger, we would often go up to Fontana, Wisconsin. My dad's friends had a couple summer houses up there, yeah. So I've literally been going up there every year I've been alive.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that, you know, that Lake Geneva area holds a special place in my heart. We'd also go to Door County. Just kind of looking back on it, it was just going to Dunham Park and Norwood Park and going to play baseball. In the days you weren't playing baseball, just hanging out of the park and seeing people and talking and, you know, riding your bike around and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a particularly huge fan of the summer because of the weather. Like, you know, the stretch that we're going through right now is, for me, it's miserable. But I like it when it's pleasant outside. And when I was a kid, obviously, I was out in the summer all the time. You know, riding bikes and busting stuff over other people's heads and stuff, you know, because that's what we did. But I think my favorite, like, summer when I was, you know, still athletic somewhat, softball was my favorite thing to do in the summer. I loved playing pickup games of softball. That was always my favorite thing to do. Not a big water guy. Not a big beach guy. I mean, pool is fine. Every once in a while I'll go to swimming pool. Not a beach guy, though. It's not one of my favorite places to be. Not big, you know, on sand everywhere. And
crowded,
and, you know, yeah. I don't know. That's just not my scene, man. So, I do enjoy barbecues. I always enjoy. You know who used to throw the best barbecues of all time?
Who is that?
Hey, listen. My friend Joe Donatello.
I can see that.
Hosted the best barbecues. He would have one on Memorial Day. He would have one on Labor Day. Every year, you'd go to Joe's for Memorial Day, and you'd go to Joe's for Labor Day. And at the Labor Day barbecue that he would do, we would always bring the TV out and watch the telethon. So we'd be outside, eating like pigs. Joe would always be at the grill. Nobody could touch the grill but Joe. Hey, listen, I know what I'm doing. I went to cooking school. He did, actually. Why am I blanking on the name of the cooking school in Evanston?
Cordon Bleu?
No.
Kendall College.
Kendall. Yeah, he went to Kendall.
Before they moved it downtown Chicago.
Yeah, this was in Evanston.
Yeah,
he went there when it was Evanston. He went to Kendall. And he was a hell of a cook, Joe. He was seriously an amazing cook. And I would always bring a steak, and he would be so happy. I'd bring a steak. See, this guy brings me something that I can work with. You people who are bringing hot dogs, anybody can make a hot dog. Nick brings me a steak. He knows. So anyway, my favorites were Joe's barbecues. Those were the best. And So anyway, what you like the summer, Raj?
I love the summer.
Yeah. What's your favorite? Your favorite summertime activities?
Well, I haven't been able to do it for the last couple of years because I'm working on Sundays. But when we moved back into Chicago 30-aught years ago, I walked over to the big park near us and saw a bunch of guys playing softball, 16-inch softball, and asked if I could play. And they said, sure.
Yeah.
We had guys 90 years old all the way down to kids 14 years old.
Softball. That's the great thing about softball. Anybody can play it.
And it was a pickup game. And they had been playing already when I started for at least 30 years. I played with them for about the past 30 years until I couldn't do it anymore on Sundays. They always do it on Sundays. They start the weekend before Memorial Day, and they go to the weekend after Labor Day. And then they have a big barbecue. And it's a pickup game. Whoever shows up plays. Mm. They pick up sides. No one strikes out.
Nobody should strike out in 16-inch
you could have a pitcher up there that's thrown three strikes, and they say, go ahead and try to hit the ball. No one walks. You don't start with that, already one strike, one ball count on you. Mm-hmm. And they play seven innings, and then at the end of the game, everyone throws in a buck into the kitty, and all that money goes to the barbecue.
Oh, well, that's
cool. And it's wonderful. The problem is the start time used to be at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think the last time I was there it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So it kept getting pushed back. I love golf. I used to, as a kid, when the parents wouldn't take us anymore, when we got older, I would ride my bike in Evanston to the beach, and I'd spend my afternoons at the beach. And baseball games. Like, I used to go to a lot more games at Wrigley.
Well, I forgot to mention that. I spent most of my summers at Wrigley.
Yeah,
I remember there was a year that I was unemployed. Shockingly, I was unemployed and I was living on the dole. And my friend and I were both unemployed. We were both unemployed. Actually, I think he was working part time. I was just unemployed. And it was the summer of '90, and we went to probably 50 games that summer.
Okay.
And I mean, almost all of the home games. We went to almost all of the home games. And
how much did that run, you think, altogether?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, because back then it was, you could
get we sat in the song, we right? sat in the bleachers. Yeah. I mean, every time we sat in the bleachers. Oh, we were
was
always
still
in the...
like a buck and a half, $2.
No, not in 1990. Oh. 1990 was probably like,
well, they raised
probably
it?
Like $10 at,
oh, really?
In sure, the like $8-$10 probably in 1990. Mm-hmm. Dan, you can probably look that up, how much it was. I mean, when I was a kid, it was like a buck to, you
yeah,
know,
right.
buck and
exactly.
a half.
That's
but
what I'm saying.
This is
yeah.
1990, though. Right. I was like in my 20s. So, yeah. But yeah, we used to go, and I don't know Dan, I have no idea how much I spent because, beer. So this was when this was when I was a drinking man, and we were there every day, and beers were not cheap. And still, now what's a beer go for now at Wrigley? Is it $10 now?
I mean, if you're going, the regular stuff,
like a Bud,
like $7.50, $8, and then the higher end Goose Island stuff's $9.50, $10.
Wow.
I can't. I mean, and people drink when they go there, man. I have not been to a Cubs game in a couple of years. It's been a while since I've been to a Cubs game, but I went to Pearl Jam, and people were down in beer, and it was like $8 a beer. I'm like, are you people nuts? Well, I did it. I mean, when I would go to Cubs games, I would drink a lot of beer when I would go to Cub games. But yeah, I don't know how. I mean, I really don't know how much. But the entire summer of 1990, we spent at Wrigley. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Then I finally got a job,
and then you couldn't go.
I couldn't go as much. Yeah. I still would go. When I was a kid, it was like, just walk.
Sure.
Because
you lived closer.
I lived 7 blocks away from Wrigley
so
Field.
So I would either walk from our house at Ridge and Seward in Evanston to the Howard L and then wait for the train that had the Cubs sign on it, because it was still A and B stations,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
So you had to wait for the trains that had the sign for Cubs games. And I would take the train in, because it wasn't that expensive to take the L back in the 60s.
Oh, no. It's still not expensive. Yeah. It's a cheap way to go.
Yeah.
And the stop is right there.
It's a short, you could throw your token at them.
Yeah.
And I'd stay for the whole game. We'd walk around, try to get this, come down from the grandstands, try to sneak into the box seats. And I would do it maybe two times a week. I'd go to the games because my kids would, my dad and mom would give me money and say, you know, get out of the house. You know, go do something.
Right.
And if it...
they were just sick of you, Roger.
Well, of course. Get out of the house.
Get it's the not, hell out of here.
It's not healthy for someone to sit in the house all day long. So, but I remember day camp when I was a lot younger over at Oakton School.
Yeah.
And you could go from 9 in the morning to 6 at night when they would take an hour off for lunch and then come back at 7 until 9. So you were gone... almost 12 hours.
Yeah. Oh, and, that's good. And the parents are like, phew.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Dan, did you ever go to summer camp?
We did go to summer camp every year.
Yeah. I never went to summer camp.
Really?
Yeah, never.
Wow.
Yeah. It never appealed to me. Like, you know, I've never, even as a kid, I've never been an outdoorsy dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, hiking and all that crap, I can't stand any of that stuff. Like, camping is not a thing I want. Summer camp, you know, running around and all outside and being in the, you know, that doesn't appeal to me at all.
Right.
Summer to me is inside, shades down, air conditioning. that's what summer is to me. So that's it. And did you like summer camp?
I did enjoy it. You know,
How long would you be away? How many? Like a couple months?
Oh, no, it wasn't like a go-away camp.
Oh, I see.
It was a...
like a day camp that he's talking about.
Yeah,
that
like
Roger
a day camp, yeah.
Okay,
so, I never, like, slept in a cabin for months or anything. It was just, you know, you'd go for whatever it was, 9 to 3 or 9 to 4.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've never done that either. Now, where was this? Was this in the city?
Dunham Park and Norwood Park where I played baseball. So both of them offered programs. So, yeah, it was fun because, I mean, you know, it was like, especially when you were a little bit older and it was different friends than school.
Yeah.
And so you can be kind of little, you know, different and you have different things. And we had a really hot camp counselor, I remember. And,
that helps.
That does help.
Yes.
And yeah.
I will say this. I will say this about summer. Visually, it's nice.
There's a lot to view.
There is really a lot. I mean, that's my. I will say that that's my favorite part of summer.
Are the scenery
the less amount of clothing that the ladies wear that makes me happy.
Right. And a nice transition to that. Norwood Park did have a swimming pool as well, so that was fun. We got to go swimming every day.
I'm trying to remember what park I would hang out at. I think, I played Little League at Hamlin, which I'm trying to remember. Damon and Wellington, maybe? I'm trying to remember but Hamlin is where I played. I played Little League there for years at Hamlin. We used to go to Wells Park, which is up in Lincoln Square.
Barry and Hoyne is one intersection. Hoyne and Wellington, Wellington and Damon.
Yeah, that's it. That was that the Hamlin Park. That's where I played.
Yeah,
I played Little League there. Actually, made the All Star team once.
Oh,
yeah.
What position?
Center field.
Wow! Did you have
way
an
to go,
arm?
John
I played.
Se-
I played. Thank you, John Fogerty. I played center field, and I also played second base. But it was center field for me. And
going back to Roger's question, I mean, how many people did you gun down at the plate? How many assists did you have?
Oh, are you kidding? I got a rifle.
You and Wellington Castillo.
Exactly. Me and Hayward, man. We got guns.
There you go.
No, I was a good player. I'm short as it is. I'm 5'8 as an adult human male. But I was really short when I was a kid, so I walked a lot.
The Jose Altuve of your
day. Absolutely, man. I walked a lot. And I remember, like, every coach I ever had, I maybe 3 or 4 coaches over the years, every one of them was like, go up and take a walk. And I'm like, I really would like to swing the bat at some point. But I was like, my strike zone was like, you know, Jorge Vilches. And so I walked. I mean, I probably led the league in walks. I don't remember. I mean, I got some hits. I never hit a home run. I mean, I had extra base hits there and there, but I never hit it. I'm trying to remember if I ever hit a home run in Little League.
I hit a home run that was error assisted. And
how did that happen?
Well, just the outfielder just bobbled it, and I could make it to third. But I remember literally because like I closed my eyes and then I opened them, and then my coach was just like, because I didn't know, you know.
What park did you play for?
That was Norwood. I played Dunham and Norwood.
You played Dunham and Norwood. Yeah. What position did you play?
I was all over the place, but probably my best was catcher.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's a difficult man.
Yeah, but it worked out. Like for some reason, I was like the pitcher whisperer.
I
could do well with the pitchers. So, yeah.
I'm just saying physically.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, especially in weather like this, I always feel for the catchers, man. Always. When it's like 95 degrees.
And the umps, and you can see the sweat bands forming around.
But also just in general, being a, you know, catcher, you're in that crouch position the whole time. I mean, that's just, you got all that equipment. Doesn't help when it's 90. All right, we have to break. We're talking about summertime activities. What were your favorites? 312-981-7200. It's summertime, officially. It's going to be like 93 degrees today. So stay cool and tell us about your summer activities. And maybe your summer's past. Did you go to summer camp? Did you play Little League? We have some summer obsessions that we're going to get to as well. So summertime talk here on WGN. We'll take a break and talk more after this. Whoa. That's a new bump, Dan. That's sexy and fly.
Jill Scott.
Wow, Jill Scott. Wow. All right, getting ready for Fly Jams Friday, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. So we're talking about summer activities. What do you love about summer? What have you done in the past? Did you play Little League? I played with a guy at Little League. This guy was unbelievable, and I can't believe he didn't go pro. He was one of the best players I've ever seen. His name was Charlie Hiltonen. And his sister was amazing, too. His sister was, they were both unbelievable baseball players. And I thought for sure this guy, he was going to go that route. He was on the all-star team like every year, this guy. He was unbelievable. So I just remember.
Was he big for his age?
No. He wasn't much bigger than me. He was really fast. He could hit. He had defensively, he was pretty extraordinary. He was an unbelievable player.
Mm.
He was really unbelievable. His average, like, .450.
Jeez.
I mean, he was incredible. And I thought for sure that he would go on, you know. Maybe he did, and we played the minors or something like that, but he was great. He was terrific. He made the rest of us look like idiots. Just like a little bunch of kids.
Did he help you guys win?
Oh yeah, I mean, well, no, then, I mean, no, seriously, he was ridiculous.
Yeah,
and you know, the coaches always let him swing.
Not you,
not me. Go out and take a walk.
Same thing happened to me. I swear to God.
Yeah,
they said don't. They said don't take the bat off your shoulder.
Yeah,
and I actually walked once.
Yeah,
and I got to first base, and I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
Well, you got to run to second if somebody gets it.
What do I know? I mean, we were little, and they didn't really train us that well, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I started playing Little League, I don't know. I guess when I first started playing, I must have been 5 or 6 when I first started playing Little League. And, you know, obviously, it's, you know, when a bunch of 6-year-olds playing baseball, it's not a pretty sight unless you're a parent.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yay, nice job. When did T-ball become a thing? Dan, because when I was a kid, we didn't have T-ball. We played baseball.
I'm not sure. I did play T-ball. So,
did you?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got to be at least 86, I would say, then.
Yeah. But, I mean, when I was a kid, we got pitched, too.
Yeah.
there was no T-ball. 847 area code says, water skiing from sunup to sundown at Bass Lake, Indiana. Or is it Bass Lake? You know, it wouldn't be Bass Lake. Yeah, it's a Bass Lake.
B-A-S-E?
No, it's B-A-S-S. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but that's how you spell bass in a band,
right.
So I thought maybe it was a bass player. It was, you know.
Maybe it's shaped like a bass.
It was Paul
guitar.
McCartney's Lake. I've been water skiing, shockingly. My girlfriend, well, Dan, you know, the McDonald's older girlfriend with the kid, they were a big water skiing family. And we went out, and the first time I ever water skied was then. And that's fun. Water skiing's fun. You ever done it, Dan?
I have not water skied. I've done tubing and other things, but not water skiing.
It's fun. Of course, I fell like 8,000 times.
Oh, everybody does.
So, But I didn't go flying. You know what? I love those videos that they show, like on Ridiculousness and America's Home Videos, where the boat's going like 90, and then somebody lets go and just boom, 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 they bounce all over the they bounce up and down on the water.
Unfortunately, that was me the one time I skied.
Oh, yeah?
I was down, it was in college, and we were in Crab Orchard Lake, and I got up, and I was so joyful that I actually could stand up.
Yeah.
And they were pulling, and they did exactly what you said. They sped up some more. I'm up there laughing like crazy, and then I just go flying.
Yeah.
I hit the water with my mouth wide open. I almost broke my jaw.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. And I was just, I was laughing when I finally came up out of the water.
Wow.
That
sounds like
it
fun.
It was hilarious.
Mark the Breadman says, my summertime memory is my dad taking me to Kittyland and then to Russell's Barbecue for dinner. Oh, Russell's. Oh, Russell's.
What was that?
You don't know Russell's?
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
On Thatcher Road.
I know where Thatcher
Road
is.
Yeah, it's Russell. Okay. I can't believe you've never been to Russell's.
I'm sorry.
Legendary place. Legendary. Dan, it's on Thatcher. What's the suburb?
Yeah, we looked it up last time, as we mentioned it when we were talking about barbecue.
It's amazing. And it's been there forever. I can't believe you've never been there, Raj.
Well, this is out.
Elmwood Park.
Is this the Elmwood Park out on First Avenue?
Well, it's Elmwood Park.
Yeah, we never got out there. The Kittyland that we went to was on McCormick and Devon.
No, I know that one, but I'm just saying Russell's
Elmwood Park.
Russell's has been there forever.
Yeah,
Roger.
Dad never took us. We never went.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you
have to go.
You could have gone as an adult.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Not when I got Pit Barbecue one block away from
us.
Well,
you should try Russell's.
Okay,
it's a different kind of barbecue sauce. It's a vinegar based barbecue sauce. It's thin, and they sell it. They sell Russell's barbecue sauce at the Jewel.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great. And the food is good. It's a great, legendary place. Okay, we got a break here, and the news is coming up next. Yeah, man. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hey, we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 stories above lovely Chicago. 312-981-7200 is our phone number for talk and text. 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Coming up a little bit later on, all of our regular features. We got Fly Jams Friday. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy. All coming up right here on WGN. We're talking about summer activities, what you love about the summer, summer memories. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. What do you like to do during the summer? And we've got some summer obsessions. We'll talk about that as well. 630 area code sends in a text, and you can do the same. Text, talk, 312-981-7200. Hey, yeah, I'm with you, Nick. I'm not a beach guy at all, but I do love my hiking, camping, and photography in the summertime.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I forgot to mention, Dan? Summer activities. We're going to the drive-in. It's one of my favorite things to do. Well, there's not many of them left, but back in the day, you know, we'd go to the drive-in. When I was a kid, we went to the drive-in a lot. And when I was, as an adult, a bunch of us would go. I've told you that one of my buddies had a van.
Yes, I love this story.
A buddy of mine he just bought this crappy van. It was like on its last legs. It was rusted out. It was a piece of crap. And he bought it specifically because he wanted to use it for all of us to go to the drive-in. That's specifically why he bought it. It was just the drive-in van. And so we would go to the, this is usually, we, I mean, 90% of the time when we went to the drive-in, we went to the Twin in Wheeling. That's the one that we went to. It was called the Twin Drive-In, had three screens. And I don't know who, there was, I don't, I'm not sure which came first, the drive-in or the Palwaukee Airport. Whatever it was, if the Palwaukee Airport was there already, that was not a real smart place to put a drive-in. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's not like O'Hare air traffic, you know what I mean? But the airport's right there. It's like right near screen three. And, you know, planes would go by. So anyway, the twin drive-ins were, and we would always go into the back. If you had a van, you had to park in the back. Just, you know, if you're a jerk if you park anywhere else but the back if you have a van. So anyway, we would always park in the back, and he would park it sideways. And then open up, he'd slide the door open, to the van, slide the side door open, And we actually had furniture in the van, like a couch, an actual like recliner and a table. And we would bring that out in front of the, and we would sit it out on the ground and we would make a living room. And we would sit on actual recliner couches and stuff and drink beer and watch the movies. That's, we did that for like two summers. Like, I mean, maybe a summer and a half. Cause I, who knows? I mean, I, you know, the van was a piece of crap. Broke down once when we were coming back from it, from the twin. We had to have a tow truck mechanic dude come out. It was such a piece of crap. The car was just, I mean, it was, you know, making all kinds of noise that you can't even have smoke pouring out of it. It really was just a piece of junk. But it held our recliners and our couch so that we could have set up our lovely living room in Wheeling, Illinois, and watch the movies. One of the memorable experiences that I you know, my cousins, my aunt and my cousins, they lived in Norridge for many years. So, Hardwood Heights. So we would visit them, and obviously we'd hang out at the Hip. Dan, where's the Harlem Irving Plaza? Do you know?
No, no.
Okay. So there used to be a drive-in at Harlem and Irving. It was the Harlem Irving drive-in. And well, and what's there now? What's where? Because where the Venture was, what's there now?
Kmart.
It's a Kmart, right? And is that where like Longhorn Steakhouse and all that?
The glow-in-the-dark.
Oh yeah,
mini golf and.
Was there a parachute, the indoor parachute thing there or no?
No, I don't think there's one there. They have a laser tag place. So.
Okay, so that's all there. And a Michaels.
Yes.
Anyway, that used to be a drive-in. A lot of people don't, you know, can't picture a drive-in like right in the middle of that area, but it was there. And we used to go to that drive-in all the time when I was a kid because it was right by my cousin's house. So we'd go there all the time. And I remember specifically, we went to go see Theater of Blood. Dan, you familiar with Theater of Blood?
Can't say that I am.
Roger, you know Theater of Blood?
Nah, sorry.
It is a classic.
How old is it?
It's, I want to say early 70s, Vincent Price.
It was probably one I was aware of, but never want to see if it was back then.
It's actually, I think it's one of Vincent Price's best performances. I think he's great in it. And he plays an actor who kills critics. No, seriously. It's what it is. It's like people who give him bad reviews, they're dead. It's a black comedy, obviously, right. but it's a great movie. Dan, can you look it up and see what year that was? And I'm trying to remember who Gordon Hessler might have directed it. I'm trying to remember. But it was one of those early 70s horror movies that made a huge impact on
73.
Did you have the director?
Douglas Hickox,
okay. So who else was in it? Because you have Vincent Price. I know there were other really
good people. Yeah.
Diana Rigg. Right.
Ian Hendry.
Yeah.
Harry Andrews. Coral Brown.
Very British. British movie.
Jack Hawkins. Mm-hmm. Arthur Lowe.
How do they describe it? What's the synopsis that they...
The synopsis is a Shakespearean actor takes poetic revenge on the critics who denied him recognition.
Yeah, baby. It's a really good movie. It's a really, really good movie. And I know it's available on DVD. If you've not seen it, if you guys are Vincent Price fans and you haven't seen Theater of Blood, you should check it out. Last summer, Dan, at the Flashback Convention, Victoria Price, his daughter, was there. And she, by the way, is a lovely woman. She's just fantastic and has so many great stories about her father. And, Theater of Blood was one of his very favorite movies. But anyway, I vividly remember seeing it at the Harlem Irving drive-in, and as soon as it ended, a horrible thunderstorm started. So we were there, and like we saw the movie, and I loved it. I remember really loving the movie. My cousins were we were there. We had two cars, and the movie ends and there was, I can't remember what the second movie was because we didn't stay because it really came down. But I was like, hey, thank you for waiting till the movie ended. I appreciate that. Thank you, God. I really did want to see the end of this movie. And I'm so glad that the downpour didn't start until the end credits were over. Lots of drive-in memories, man.
You probably would have had another horror story because that's
it was
how
probably
they usually
a
dead,
you know,
did
no,
that.
I'm sure it was a horror movie. I've no doubt, but we didn't stay because I mean it was just it was like a typhoon. We were like, let's get the hell out of here. But yeah, I mean we've had bad storms at drive-ins.
Oh yeah,
and you just turn your windshield wipers on. just turn your windshield wipers on. That's all.
especially nowadays where you can get it on the on your radio, the audio on your radio.
Well, that's one of my, I've told this story before, Roger, maybe you haven't heard it. One of my favorite, you know, obviously you know I love zombie movies.
Oh, sure.
And the best zombie movie ever made is Dawn of the Dead, mm-hmm. George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. It's genius. It's the one where they're in the shopping mall, came out in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 14 when the movie came out, and when it came out, it didn't have a rating. Because every time Romero submitted it, it got an X. This was before NC-17.
Right.
It got an X for the violence, for the gore.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't want to, Romero didn't want to release it under the X rating because people, you know, he didn't want to think people it was porn. Because anything that was X-rated was usually pornographic.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
he didn't want to release it. So the MPAA, which is the governing body that rates the movies, he released it without a rating. But it said no one under 18 would be allowed to see it. So it was you know, but it wasn't rated X, but no one, you know, even though it wasn't rated, no one under 18 was allowed to see it. I was 14 years old, and there was no way I wasn't going to see this movie. There was no way. I don't care if I have to I'm not going to wait 4 years to see Dawn of the Dead. This is just not going to happen, and my dad knew that. So we went to the drive-in where it was playing, and I believe it was the Twin. Because there were two screens. So I think it was the Twin. If I'm not mistaken, it was the Twin. And my dad, we go, it's my parents and my friend Dan Long, not the one that works here, but my childhood friend Dan Long, which is really weird that I grew up with a guy named Dan Long. He was my best friend growing up. When I met the Dan Long that works here that used to produce my Saturday show, I was like, well, we're destined to be pals. So anyway, my dad pays, you know, he goes to one and he pays for a different movie. So let's say Dawn of the Dead's playing on screen three. My dad, mom pay for the movie, whatever the hell it was. I don't even remember what we went to see. But that was on screen two. So we go to screen two, and my dad parks the car all the way in the back, pulls as close to the fence as possible, all the way in the back. And so, and then he got the frequency from screen two on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Dan and I turn around and watch Dawn of the Dead out the back window.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's what my dad's like. The kid's got to see Dawn of the Dead. Well, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
Like, this is the guy who took me to see The Exorcist when I was eight. So it was still appropriate, you know, to get, you know.
Yeah.
And then my parents, they still had speakers at that point. So my parents got out of the car and they watched whatever the hell the movie was. And they could hear it through the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So they watched whatever was facing forward. And Dan and I watched Dawn of the Dead out the back window. And we were the rock stars at school.
Well, we nobody else could get into
no, exactly
yeah.
right, man. We were rock stars. So,
awesome.
Anyway, yeah, that's my drive-in, one of my favorite drive-in stories. My dad's like, the kid's got to see Dawn of the Dead.
and that's what makes him awesome.
And it was clearly a very influential movie on my life, too. So I told Romero that story. I told George Romero that story because I got to know George Romero, which is one of the blessings of being part of the Flashback Convention, if you can actually make a connection with some of your heroes. And I made a connection with George Romero. I had him on the show a bunch of times. I did all his Q&As. We kept in touch. And I told him that story, and Romero said it was one of his favorite stories that he's ever heard. That, like,
wow.
Yeah. He was an amazing dude, George Romero, and an incredible filmmaker. So, all right. We're talking about summer activities. I know a lot of people who just, you know, like when I was a kid, I was never inside, but that was like in the, you know, that was just the case. Like in the set, when I was growing up in the '70s, you were never inside.
Yeah, kicked everybody out.
Running around outside and acting like idiots. And I mean, you know, I've told the kind of activities, most of them involved, you know, smacking your friend in the head with stuff and busting things over their legs. And
sure.
You come home, you got a big gash in your leg. Your mom puts Mercurochrome on it and you go back outside. Mm-hmm. That's how it worked in the '70s.
Yeah. I had, this was back in the 60s, and it was at Oakton, and I don't know why, but we had found a little corner, before there were 7-Elevens, it was a little corner store.
Sure.
And it was just across the border in Chicago, near the yard, and they sold fireworks you couldn't get anywhere else. Smoke bombs, little firecrackers, and stuff like
that.
You remember,
if you're talking about fireworks, I'm not a big fireworks guy. I didn't, I never have been. I never liked firecrackers. I never was like, oh, let's get some M&As and blow stuff up.
Right.
I had friends to do that. I would hang out with those people, but I was never one of those guys, you know, sticking M80s and watermelons to see them blow up. But I mean, that was an activity. That's what we did.
Like, exactly.
Somebody get a watermelon. Let's blow it up with an M80. That'll be a perfect afternoon activity. But I did enjoy, my favorite is these stupid little things. Dan, do you know these things? Maybe, I know, Roger, you probably do.
The snakes?
Snakes.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Those were the greatest. Those were the great. I mean, I would watch with fascination.
A box would keep you enthralled the entire day.
And it would just, it's all it is ash. It's just ash. And I'm like, this is the coolest. And they would leave black marks on the sidewalk.
Yes.
When you were done. I could spend a summer day. All day long for 10 hours, just lighting up snakes.
And you know what the biggest joy was with those? When you finally got one that would go all the way through
exactly.
Without having to relight it.
Exactly. That was always like an accomplishment.
Exactly.
Like, you go, yeah, that was the best snake ever. Those were the best. Those were the best.
Well, I got a firework that, I don't know if it was like a flare or something. It was real small. And I put it in the tan bark. You remember tan bark in the playgrounds.
Yeah.
And I sat it up so that it would be out of the way. And then I went over and I lit it. And the fuse went down and down and down. And all of a sudden, gone. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I waited and I waited. And I go, all right, let me take a look at what's going on here. And the split second that I put my face over.
Of course.
The thing exploded in my eye.
Yeah. Now, were you hospitalized?
No. Thank God I was able to close my eyelid fast enough, but it burned the eyelid.
See, this is why I wasn't a fireworks guy.
Right.
That's exactly why, man. I remember, this is a terrible story, but I'm going to share it anyway, because this is one of the reasons why I can't do the fireworks. I'll tell it right after we got a break.
Okay. All right.
And also, we've got some summer obsessions we'll get to and all the regular Friday features. If you want to jump in with any of your summer stories, 312-981-7200. Well, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Friday morning, all of our regular features are coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and then Fly Jams Friday. Get your Fly Jam request ready to go at 312-981-7200. That's also talk and text. We're talking about summertime memories and summer stories, and I've got some summer obsessions here that we're going to talk about. And the deal is, Chicago marketing agency Digital Third Coast looked at Google search volume data to determine which phrases each state searched for the most during summer. So it's each state search for the most. So that's their summer obsessions. And we'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. So anyway, this terrible story I'm about to tell is real. And one of the reasons why I never really enjoyed fireworks. Never. We were playing basketball. St. Andrews, by the way, Dan, you know this. St. Andrews Church and St. Andrews Gym and school are located right on Addison.
Right.
And then right down the street on Palina and Cornelia was where I went to school, which is Hamilton.
Right.
So Hamilton was the public school. St. Andrews was obviously private Catholic school. And we were considered like the bad guys because we were like the public school kids. We could wear whatever the hell we wanted to school. You know, there were no uniforms and we were godless. You know, that's what we were like. You know, the St. Andrews kids were like, oh, no, it's the Hamilton kids. And they would be scared of us. We didn't do any. We were just idiots. But anyway, they had the St. Andrews gym every Tuesday, I think it was, had roller skating. So we would go roller skating and that's when we would invade St. Andrews. Anyway, they had a basketball court, a parking lot / basketball court next to the gym. We were playing basketball one day. We were outside playing basketball, and a car drove by, and a guy leaned out the window and said, "Hey, catch!" And he threw an M80, and one of the kids on the court caught it, and it blew two of his fingers off.
Oh no!
And I witnessed this, and we said, you know, the ambulance came. They had to take him to the hospital and stuff. And so he lost two fingers. And this, I didn't go to school with this kid. He was a neighborhood kid. He didn't go to Hamilton. He didn't go to St. Andrews. And he was older. He was a few years older than us. That actually happened. And it's, if that doesn't put you off from fireworks, you know what I mean? Nothing will. To see some kid get his hand basically blown off. And I don't know who the hell these kids were. I don't think they ever found him.
Sure.
You know, whoever threw the M80. But I mean, that's.
Yeah.
So yeah, I witnessed that.
Oof.
So that's there you go. That's why I'm not, you know. That's why I'm not a big fireworks fan. I wasn't a big fireworks fan before that. And I was probably, when that happened, I was probably 11 or something when that happened. 10 or 11. So, yeah, there you go. That was a great way to end the half hour.
Wow. I saw it lighten it up real quick. My cousin Daniel Arthur, sadly, he held on to an M80 a little bit too long, and he lost part of his fingers. Recently, when my grandmother passed away, he was one of the pallbearers with us, and we're all putting on our gloves, and he's like, "Do you think they've got a four-finger one for me?"
Well, that's a way of looking at it. All right. Well, anyway, that was your PSA. Be careful out there. Well, it's not July 4th, so still, people in the summer.
They're still blowing them off
stuff
in our neighborhood.
Up. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up, and then summer obsessions will continue, and then regular features will begin right here on WGN. Yeah, man. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on the 18th floor, almost said 7th, 18th floor at 303. And we're in Studio D. We're in the West Studio. Most of the other folks here use Studio A, which overlooks, it's a beautiful view. You can see Navy Pier and the lake. It's a wonderful view. And that's the East Studio. And it's set up here very cool because, like, you got this studio is the West Studio. This is Studio D. Studio A is the East Studio. And in between is the newsroom. And it's set up in a very, very cool way. And as you're walking down the hall, you can see in the newsroom and into the studios and stuff. It's really quite nice here, man. They did a really, really great job setting it up. And there you go. And I think our office is pretty cool, too. I like the sliding.
I would say ours is the best decorated of the bunch.
You guys have really turned that into home.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's Nick. That is all Nick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't know this, but he's also an interior decorator.
Right? I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
He made himself an architect 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
An architect. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but I was on the original cast of Queer Eye. I didn't know. I was on the first season, then they cut me.
I did not know that, sir.
Yeah, you know why they cut me? I'm not gay. That's why they cut me.
I have learned so much from that show about style.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
I'm trying to remember who the person was that Colbert was talking about. No, was it Colbert? Yeah, it was Colbert. I was watching Colbert from the other night, and he was doing, of course, he was bashing Trump as he's, you know, wont to do. And I'm trying to remember who it was. What was the latest, Vic? Maybe you know this. Who was the latest employee of the White House who just got, he just got hired. I mean, he'll be fired soon, but he just got hired. Anyway, that guy. And I don't know if you guys, do you watch Colbert? Has anybody ever watched Colbert?
I watch it, but very infrequently.
Okay. I mean, yes. I think he's great. And he does this thing where he'll say, like he'll go, you know, Anthony Scaramucci or, Italian, you know, idiots, something. See, he always has something to describe the other person. Mm-hmm. And it's usually visually. And so they showed a picture of this guy, and he had like a great, whoever, you know, was the new hire at the White House. He had thinking, Colbert was about to rip this guy to shreds. And so he had like a sort of a gray beard in his hair. He had gray hair and like a poof, you know, pompadour kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And he was like smiling, and his description was, he said the guy's name. He goes, or Santa Claus post Queer Eye. I almost fell off the couch. And if you see the picture of the guy, it's so funny. It's because it's like he's got this gray beard. It's all nicely trimmed, and he's got his hair. It's like Santa Claus post Queer Eye. That was his description. So anyway, yeah, our office is unique. Count Fartula, Dan Fartenstein,
indeed. But Bill Shine is the person.
Bill Shine, that's the guy. You seen a picture?
You see what I'm saying? Very much so. It is. You can totally see that.
Yeah, I can see it now too. Yeah,
Santa Claus post Queer Eye. It was hilarious.
He does have that kind of pudgy nose, the Santa Claus nose. Yeah.
Yeah. So Colbert, man. Let me just say, can I say this, Dan, real quick? One of the guests, the only guest last night, or I say yesterday morning from the night before, because I watch him the next day, was The Rock, was Dwayne Johnson. And I want to say this, it was without question. And I think Dwayne Johnson's a very charming guy, and he's a good talk show host, and he has, you know, fun stories. That was without question. He did two full segments with him. It was the best talk show appearance he's ever made.
Really?
Yeah. And Colbert, I mean, went into wrestling history. They talked about his grandfather, his father. He sang a Samoan song. They drank whiskey together, or tequila. Sorry, they drank tequila together. They had an eyebrow contest because, you know, Stephen Colbert has that eyebrow thing too. He does the eyebrow thing. So they had they did a shot together with the eyebrows. They did their thing. And it was fantastic. And it was really entertaining. And Colbert asked really great questions. They didn't even talk about Skyscraper. And at one point, it's like, okay, so the new movie is Skyscraper. And The Rock grabs the blue card. You know how all the guys have the blue cards. The Rock grabs the blue card. He goes, and he throws the card. He goes, the hell with the movie. Let's have another drink. And so he pulls the bottle out and he's like, yeah, let's show the clip. So they show the clip, you know, and then they come back and they said goodbye. He didn't even talk about the movie. And it was still an extraordinarily entertaining interview. So,
based upon what you said, it seems like Nev Campbell is the real star of that movie.
Yeah, well, Nev Campbell was on the night before and Colbert was asking her and they showed a clip. And she's like flipping guys and stabbing guys with scissors and knocking guys. And I was like, look at Nev Campbell kicking some ass. And then, you know, Colbert asked her, you know, who kicked more ass, The Rock or you? And she's like, me. So that's enough for me to want to see this movie. So, although Eric texted me, he saw it and he texted me and he was like, it's ridiculous. Oh, really? Like, you can't tell from the commercials that the movie's ridiculous? I'm going to see it in that loudest, biggest screen possible so the dumbness is even more, you know.
That strikes me as the right movie to see in that.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. These are Google searches. Which phrases each state searched for? Oregon, Montana, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut searched for air conditioner. I probably would do that, too. You know, my ex-wife lives in Oregon. She lives in Medford, Oregon. And, you know, we text back and forth every once in a while. We're still on friendly terms. And, she constantly is telling me, because I always tell her, you know, what the weather is like here. And then she's like, yeah, it's 103 right now. It's always like 90 degrees there. How the hell can you live there?
Isn't that farther north?
It's almost California. She's right near the border of California. Washington, Idaho, Wyoming, and Colorado, they were searching campsites. That makes sense. Maryland, amusement parks. Oh, that we didn't talk about that. Going to Great America and stuff. I used to do that a lot when I was a kid. Ask Alaska and Vermont, bike rentals. All right. Louisiana, they search boats. A lot of boats in Louisiana. Dan, you ever been to Louisiana? You been to New Orleans?
I have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ever go on like an alligator tour?
I did not go on an alligator tour.
They're fun, man.
It sounds like it would be.
I know Colin's going to be there at the end of the month.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, it's always really, really good to go to New Orleans at the end of July. That's always the best time to go if you want to die from heat stroke. North Dakota, corn on the cob was their search. You can have that year round. You don't need to just eat that in the summer. Corn on the cob is quite delicious even in November. South Dakota County Fair. Hawaii, New Mexico, Tennessee, Georgia, Virginia, North Carolina, Delaware, New Jersey all searched farmer's market. Florida, simply grill. Now, they could be talking about the bling for your teeth, right? I mean, that might...
Oh, sure, yeah.
Utah, Minnesota, Missouri, Arkansas, Michigan, and Ohio, they're searching for hammock. You got to have two trees, though. You got to make sure you have two trees. Illinois, here we go. Illinois, New York, they search for rooftop bar. Of course, Illinois, it involves drinking. Let's see, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, lobster roll. Why would they have to look that up? They're there. You just walk outside, and it rains lobster rolls there. Nebraska and Wisconsin, Moscow Mule, Wisconsin, booze. There's a real shocker. Mississippi, they like popsicles in Mississippi. And, you know, they don't have the double popsicles anymore. We were talking about that before. My dad loves popsicles. And always kind of was looking for the double popsicle. They don't have them anymore. It's just the singles. The doubles where you can break them in half and give one to you.
When did that happen?
Long time ago. Yeah, they don't have them anymore.
Man, I've been asleep too long.
Kansas, Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, and South Carolina all enjoy porch swings. Arizona public pool. Now, see, I can't abide by that. Too many peeing things going on at the public pool. I don't know, man.
There was an article, like, the headline was, like, even more reasons not to swim in the public pool. And I'm like, I can't click on this. I mean, I'm going to have to be in one eventually.
Yeah. Did you see the, of course, this was in Florida. Did you see the footage of the woman at the public pool?
No.
In Florida?
No.
From a couple of weeks ago?
What happened?
She was shaving her legs.
Oh, wow.
She was
in,
like,
the pool.
In the pool. Like, yeah. It had her leg over the pool, shaving her. Shaving her. Florida. It's Florida. Are you shocked by that kind
of
behavior?
I'm not.
Yeah, public pools, man. No. I don't know.
No.
Well, even more now with the water parks.
Oh, God. I can't. That's just nothing. So it's not just pee, but it's twirling everything. And splashing pee.
Yeah.
California and Nevada, they look up.
Wasn't that an album name that you had?
That was Swirling and Splashing Pee. Yeah, man. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't done the. Wow, I haven't tried the.
Wow, that's like a new record. 2 hours and 44 minutes.
How did I go 2 hours and 44 minutes without. Yeah. How did that happen? Dan, it's got to be a record, right? No reverb for 2 hours and 44 minutes?
Yeah, it beats the records by about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
You know, and that would have been, you know what, if I didn't use it, it would have been like initially it would have been our whole show. I would have done
awful.
An entire show, because our show used to be 3 hours, now it's four.
Right.
Wow. Alabama and Oklahoma enjoy softball, and Iowa enjoys sprinkler. So, oh, by the way, you remember, Dan, when you and I were coming into work and we were listening to the Cub game on the way in? And they were talking about fireworks. Pat and Ron were talking about fireworks. And Pat Hughes goes, I've never really had any elaborate fireworks. We never did anything really elaborate when I was a kid. We had just the basic stuff, you know, like sprinklers. And then Ron,
wait, sprinklers.
Sprinklers. And I said, what? I was in the car. Dan and I were in the car. I go, what? Sprinklers? And then Coomer goes, sprinklers? And Pat goes, sparklers. Sorry. Yeah, sparklers. Sprinklers? See, it's times like that when I would really love to have known what Santa would have said in that. You know what I mean? With that one.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So